The reining in of food stamps. I'm David Brancaccio. The Trump administration today spelled out details of how it will tighten the rules of the SNAP program, subsidized food for low-income people, food stamps. Speaking on CNBC this morning, the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, said the first of several planned phases of new rules is aimed at adults with no children or disabled dependents.
What we want to do is increase employment. We need these people in the workforce. Right. People who've been on the welfare, been on food stamps, we're trying to get them. And sometimes it is difficult when you've been out of a job for a long time. We're trying to help these people get back into personal dignity of work and becoming part of the productive economy of the United States.
An estimated 750,000 people could lose eligibility to the food stamp system by the middle of this coming year. I spoke just now with Marcia Fudge, Democrat from Ohio and chair of the House Subcommittee on Agriculture. She says despite requests, the administration did not gather the data to get the profiles of people who will lose benefits.
They are saying today that they are going to restrict access to SNAP for able-bodied Americans. They don't even know who they are talking about. They have no data to determine whether these people are veterans sleeping on the street, they are homeless people, they are people with PTSD or have emotional problems. They have no idea whether these people even have the capacity to work, but more importantly, if there are even any jobs for them.
Last fiscal year, the SNAP program cost $68 billion. A private sector tally of U.S. payrolls today shows hiring slowing sharply last month. According to ADP, 67,000 more jobs were created in November, much lower than expected. In early stock trading, the Dow is up 180.7%. The S&P is up 0.6%. The NASDAQ is up 0.6%. A report today from the American Enterprise Institute on student debt finds that debt is rising for students from all income groups. Here is Marketplace's Mariel Segarra.
The study looked at data from the 2015 to 2016 school year, and it found that students from high and middle income families were almost as likely as low income students to take on college debt. That's a big change from 20 years ago. Consider the students defined as high income, whose families earn more than $114,000 a year.
For students completing bachelor's degrees, it used to be about 30% of them borrowing, and now it's 60%.
That's Jason Delisle, who wrote the report. For middle-income families, the number jumped from about 45% to 71%. That compares to 75% of lower-income students. Persis Yu, who directs the Student Loan Borrower Assistance Project at the National Consumer Law Center, thinks the numbers are telling.
Tuition has grown so enormously that we see that that is bleeding to higher middle-class and higher-income families where they can no longer afford college tuition either.
In other words, these days, almost everybody has trouble paying for college. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Okay, here's a solid investment. Support Marketplace today, and your donation goes three times as far. Right now, your donation makes triple the impact, triple, thanks to a special two-for-one match by the Candida Fund. That is three times the support for the public service journalism that you trust to keep you informed every day. The match only goes through this Sunday, so don't miss out. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. An overarching story in retail is Amazon, eBay, and Walmart crushing the little shops on the street. The online retailers have superpowers, but they also have a vulnerability. Customer relationships with them are typically transactional, and the interactions aren't especially memorable. Some bricks and mortar stores have responded by making shopping an experience. The difference between going to, say, a hipster restaurant versus a fast food drive-thru. Now, smaller retailers may be especially well-positioned to curate these experiences. Listen to the founder of an enterprise called Bash Party Goods based in Chicago.
You know, everyone's trying to recreate that holiday of their childhood, but online shopping wasn't a part of our childhood holiday experience.
I'm Angela Water. I own Bash Party Goods, which is a party supply and stationery brand. I started out as an online retailer in 2015, and I opened a brick and mortar in Chicago called Festive Collective in 2016. My background was in corporate retail, and so I noticed a hole in the market. I throw a lot of parties, and I couldn't find party supplies that reflected my own aesthetic and other friends my age. I started out selling paper plates, napkins, paper garlands, just the basics that you would need to throw a birthday party. And I now have an entire section in the warehouse that's just dedicated to tubes of miniature disco balls. Every year to get the shop ready for holiday, we close for 4 days. We strip everything out of the store. We cover the windows. And so when we take the paper down the last day, there's this big reveal to the neighborhood. Tons of Santas and vibrant, kitschy reindeer and neon dreidels. We really try to create a sense of nostalgia. I feel like that's what drives most holiday purchasing. And particularly for our customers, that's something that they're not getting in the online shopping experience. And so we tend to have a lot of repeat customers throughout the holidays who will come in once and then come in again with their children and then come in with their aunts and uncles and everybody who's in town. I love watching people move throughout the space and spend more time choosing like deliberate products for gifts or even for themselves, just knowing that they're making more meaningful purchases rather than buying anything that's on sale at a big box store. Because we're small and we're not a large retailer, I can create a design, and in some cases, I can have it in customers' hands by the end of the week. I hand make little wooden Christmas houses. They have little pastel and neon accents, and they're covered in snow, and I'll usually put like a dinosaur in the front lawn or something unexpected.
The voice of entrepreneur Angela Water of Festive Collective walking here in Midtown Manhattan. You're reminded that retailers doing experiences isn't new. The holiday windows along the 34th Street side of Macy's, they've been doing that since about 1894. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.